God taking us to a place of where things aren't as complicated. And sometimes He used some of the stuff I went through to take us to another place. And you think, gosh, I wish I could have learned all that when things aren't as complicated so I wouldn't have to go through so many years, right? However, that's God's business, right? Well, what I want to talk to you about just next few moments before we break for our noonday Eucharist. I'm going to read this scripture to you. Bishop's going to talk a lot about grace tonight and stuff and about the indwelling presence. But scripture was coming to mind. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "By His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God," the person. Jesus is wisdom from God. He's and righteousness. He's righteousness. He's sanctification. And He's redemption. Right? Redemption meaning He uses all things together for our good. Right? He redeems it all. Jesus is a redeemer. And so as I'm going on this journey, which you may be, or you know someone came up to me and told me about their daughter, and we're going to pray for her, to help fight the discouragement, these are some of the things I learned about. Because when you talk about sufferings, right, trials of sufferings, this is all encompassed. Sickness is a part of sufferings. It's part of the fall. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, right? He came to destroy sufferings. But sometimes as we walk through these sufferings, we got to see God, Jesus, as a redeemer. He redeems it all, and He uses it all for our good. You know, and I'm not going to get into the story of Job, but you see that, right? It was the devil who did all that to Job, playing right into God's hand, you know, and all that God did for him, you know, not only healed him, not only did he see God better, but he was restored everything double to him. Okay. So one of the first principles I've learned, and this is just some simple stuff, but it's important that if you're going through a hard time, you know, never just get in there and ask God, why are you doing this? You know, some of the questions you want to ask the Lord is, what are you doing, Lord? What are you saying to me? What are you speaking to me? You know, is this, as we're pressing in here and we're trying to get better, and through the years that I've walked through, just always had my Bible with me, you know, and a journal with me. God, what are you saying? Because when you get to times where your emotions, you know, have you ever done that where your emotions leave you a sign, said we're in Hawaii somewhere, you know, and you don't, and your feeling being is just affected by the fall, by all this pain you're in all the time, okay? How do we live? Well, Deuteronomy 8:3 became like one of my life verses at that time. It's familiar to you. He humbled you and let you be hungry, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? And you learn to live your life during that time. We're talking about these times, you know. We're pressing in, we're waiting on God to do these things, where what's wrong with me, or no. God, what are you saying? Because we learn to live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth, right? Not by bread alone. What God, what are you saying? What are you doing? Thank you. And the promises He's already made, or the word, we talked about that some last night, about facts that Jesus has already done it. You know, we start from the place of victory. But He also speaks these words to you. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? So it's usually my faith, God's dealing with that part of me. And He does it by His Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ, or hearing by the Word of God. So during these times when I was walking through this, I was just constantly, you know, in prayer, asking the Lord, speak to me, Lord, you know. Speak to me. And I can't tell you the words that He gave me. I wish I had the stack of journals that during this time, just all the promises, all the words. He was just so sweet speaking these things to me. And then this is another familiar passage to us. You know, the book of Peter was written during the time of, you know, great persecution. Probably they say Nero was the emperor at the time. And this is another familiar verse with us in Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know? And when you read words like that, most of the time it's written here is not about the second coming of Christ. It's about in your own personal life, your own personal walk, of Jesus revealing himself to you. A revelation of Jesus. So the trials they were going through and what they had to walk through, there was this like fire just burning these things up in them. And whatever was hindering them, like that word that the Lord spoke to Bishop, I get to start first, you know. And we know that. We know that God uses these things, you know, the trials and sufferings I'm talking about, to purify our faith. Because you'll hear a lot about that tonight, about grace, the grace of God. And in Romans chapter 4, it says, faith works through grace, or grace works through faith, right? So my faith is my ability to receive all the grace that I have in Christ. And what these trials or things we're walking through is we're waiting on the Lord to move and we're pressing in, being healed was about my heart. Getting to these places, faith. I love that. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And obtaining as the outcome of your faith, salvation of your soul. Okay? There's always an outcome that the Lord has. You know, in this particular with them, to encourage them, salvation, we hear that a lot here, is not like I was saved, that's salvation, but salvation is a lifetime process. Salvation, you know, of being set free and being delivered and God, you know, removing those things, which I always say, that hinder me from experiencing his fullness. Okay? And the Lord really used these times in my life of the testimonies that I have for you to really do that with me. I'm not where I, like Paul said, I'm not where I want to be, but I press on, you know, in order to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold. You know, that word really means to grab. That, in other words, Jesus grabbed me and I grab him. And I want everything that I have in Christ. And it's my faith where I get to experience that and obtain that. So that was just a good word. That, and these were some of the things that became real life to me. One of the things, when I went through the migraines, I went through a time where I was absolutely convinced that I had a brain tumor. You know? I really thought I was dying. You know? That I had a brain tumor and that everybody knew it but me. You know? And the doctors were talking to TC and my family, and I really believed that. I mean, I really did. And telling them that, you know, he's only out a few more days or weeks, and y'all just keep him comfortable, and if we don't tell him about this, I was just convinced of that. You know? Isn't that crazy? I mean, my thinking got that bizarre. But here's what the Lord did through that. That process just brought up such fear in me. I never really thought about it or never knew I had such a fear of death. But man, this fear of death came over me so bad to where I wouldn't drive by a cemetery. I would avoid it. I would drive all the way around, you know, to go. And when you go north of Selma, you've got to go by that one. So I would go around or do whatever and look down or so I wouldn't look over there. That's what it did. But I thought, Lord, this is not how it's supposed to be. I'm a believer. I shouldn't fear anything. You know, Jesus, you don't fear. I mean, you conquered death. What's up with that? So I said, Lord, set me free from this fear of death. See what I'm saying? That what I went through brought that up that needed to be dealt with. You know, and the Lord gave me this word. This is how the word of the Lord works. He has made everything appropriate in its time, and he has also set eternity in their heart. So I said, God, you have set eternity in my heart, and I'm not experiencing that. Whatever I'm clinging to on earth, Lord, I release. And I ask you to deal with this, put it to death. You have, you know, all the stuff we do, reckon ourselves dead, and he did. And I came out of that time at the end where if I perish, I perish. There was just no fear of death anymore. You know, if Lord, if you decide to take me, I'm okay with that. You know? Right? And then, and it helps this verse too. Another one, and I'll be reading some out of 1 Peter. Listen to this. Since Christ has also suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So again, Jesus is my Redeemer. He redeems. Using this in my life, using it for my good, setting me free from sin. That somehow God uses, can use suffering in my life as I'm walking through it to set me free from the power of sin. See, fear was the power of sin over me. Fear sin, right? It had power over me. Jesus used suffering and trials or whatever. We just remember we all go and put it into one lump. We don't understand all that. To set me free from it. So I could experience more of him. Could he have done it a different way? I don't know. Maybe. But he's a redeemer. Remember, Jesus is our redemption. He redeemed it. Another one. The same chapter. And Mary, we had was talking over there, and Rosemary just mentioned this verse. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Again, this is just among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you'll rejoice with exultation. Okay? And I was stuck on that for a while. You know, to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ. Okay? Just like we say all the time, Jesus is not re-crucified. You know? Is Jesus suffering all over? I don't know what all that means, but I know this is what it meant to me. Okay? That I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, right? And as I'm in Christ, and as I'm suffering, Hebrews says that Jesus, let me read this to you. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Familiar verse. It says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And that part of the entering in and in the sufferings of Christ that we have to go through, and that, you know, are things we have to walk through, trials and stuff like that. If for me, it was part of walking through the sufferings, this, is that I can still encounter all that Christ is. Does it disqualify me? No. I can still encounter all that Jesus is and all his fullness for me, even though I may not be healed right now. You follow me? And I believe the sufferings of Christ is his compassion and his mercy and his grace that he extends as I'm suffering. Right? Because he lived, he was tempted, he physically suffered, and he went through things, and he can come to me in that moment, so I can, even at my worst moments of, even, you know, I've went through some stuff recently, I had to have surgery. I mean, the Lord didn't heal it. We tried, we prayed, we called a service here to pray for me. Everybody came and prayed for me. You know, TC really thought I was going to be healed, and just the Lord just didn't do it that way. You know, we had to have surgery, which I'm doing much better now. But even though in the midst of my pain, I could say, Jesus, I can receive all that you are and all that you have. Because in a real sense, in you as my redemption, these are your sufferings. And I offer my suffering to you on the altar. Because I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection, no matter what I'm going through. And God, you really use that with me to take me to another place, you know, to press in, no matter, you know, not about your feelings, Craig, is pressing in to all that he is. So I really do believe that's part of it. That may not be all. Maybe it's be a little tiny drop of what the sufferings of Christ mean. But to the degree I experience His glory, His presence. Part of His redemption, part of His redeeming, you know, the thing that we go after. And we got to understand, I understand that sickness is part of the fall. Suffering is part of the fall. When Paul was writing to Timothy, we just spent a lot of time in the Joel Summit, which was so awesome. Just talking about Scripture and the grace of God and, you know, all this good stuff. In verse 8 of 2:1, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, or with me, His prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And that just word suffering is, I have it in this one. I brought two Bibles because one I had notes in one and I couldn't remember which notes I had in which Bible. But this is a really cool word. And that suffering means just basically to suffer evils along with someone. There's evil, you know. Suffering is evil, but you're suffering evil along with someone according to the power of God. So how do I face it? The power of God. The grace of God extended to me. I face that. You see? It's in my weakness. His strength is made perfect. Okay? Again, we pray to get healed from those kind of things. That's what God has called us to do. And again, and how the Lord, I'm just trying to, there's some of the stuff I might have to skip a little bit, but Romans 8 is another one, really cool verse. Thank you, Lord. It says this. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Okay? In the midst of this, as my Redeemer, God, You're using this. And I'll experience Your glory to the degree. You said it right here, right? The degree that we suffer. And I know that suffering can be, you know, even dying to ourselves or dying to the flesh or, you know, life experiences when, you know, money dries up and all that kind of. I understand that too. But how Jesus uses this. Even speaking a word to me, you know, to the degree where you had to suffer the way you did, you also got to experience My glory. God, only God can do that, right? In His goodness. So how one of the ways He works all things together for my good. He doesn't say that all good. You know, I really believe that in my sufferings of Christ that He had compassion on me through that time. You know? I believe that's part of the sufferings of Christ where He has compassion on humanity because of their suffering, because of the evils of suffering that we have to go through. That's why He wants to set us free and heal us. For us to pray for each other and pray for each other to be healed because of the evil of the suffering that happens that He has compassion on. It's a real mystery that while we're going through that, we don't fully embrace it because we pray to get it, to be healed of it, but yet how God uses it. Right? And the reason I'm encouraging you like this is some of you may be there. You may have people in your church that may be just bombed and discouraged because it hadn't happened for them yet and the devil's just eating their lunch. And they're being condemned and they're being, you know, all the stuff that comes from that. Why aren't you healed yet? Something must be wrong with you. Why aren't you experiencing that yet? Instead of, let's go for it, you know? And even in the midst of this, you can experience the mercy and the grace of God while you're suffering. In that time. That's why I told Bishop I want to speak about that time where we know we get the word and we're going for it and that person's healed. That stretching time right there is very important. Right? Because that's where I hit bottom a lot. And the Lord had to pull me back up out of that place. You know? By speaking His word. you know, faith and, man, going for it and experiencing Jesus there, right? If that makes sense. And even Paul, and this would be a couple of things, and this is another one too. This is a really good verse. We see, this is some of the things he spoke to me. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, you know, we can be healed all that we want to up until, you know, if Jesus tarries, we're going to go be with him, right? Our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So even in the midst of our decaying of this outer man, our inner man, our spirit, our soul can be renewed. Because that is in union with him. And I'm constantly experiencing his grace, right? For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen, Lord. So that was another verse he just really used in my life about that. Even though you're going through this, yet your inner man is being renewed. That goes on all the time, y'all, right? We want to experience the fullness of Christ in every area. You know, we want to be able to do the miraculous. But what he does in me inwardly, Bishop said this not too long ago, it's more important of what God does in you than through you. Because if you let him do what he wants to do in you, then he can do through you whatever he wants. Okay? So I want God to do that in me. You know, any doubt, unbelief, all this junk, Lord, do it. You know, and in that same chapter, if you go back and read it, we don't have time, but, you know, where he says we're always caring about in our bodies the dying of Jesus in order that the life of Jesus may come forth. The Lord's always doing that, putting things to death in us so he can bring forth his life. You know, amen. It's a really good one. All right, Lord, I don't know which one to read or which one not to do. And I saw something about how the Lord uses these things for his glory and his goodness. And how we battle. Again, I'm really trying to keep time here. It's Paul when he's writing to the Galatians. He says this. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached to you the gospel the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ himself. Where is that sense of blessing? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and gave them to me. Okay, we really don't know what his affliction were, but a lot of people think it had something to do with his eyes, right? Because in one of his letters, he says, you see with what large handwriting I'm writing this letter? Okay, let's just say it was. This is a guy who prayed for people. People got healed, just like Jesus, you know. I believe he walked in a real high anointing of people he prayed for. You know, if you can take a handkerchief and take it to someone, that's a pretty high anointing, right? But yet he had this bodily illness at this particular time where he wasn't healed right then. Maybe he was later. But God used it. He used it to keep him in this region of Galatia to start these churches. Okay? He said, it's a bodily illness. Because of that, I was with you this first time. He was going to go on, but, you know, something happened to him, probably his eyes. He had some days or months or whatever, and he was there, and God really used it. And then he was able, again, to write him this letter when they had all the, you know, Judaizers coming in, which is some real good stuff in Galatians, okay? And then you see him. And you see him, same guy. And when this is familiar, verses 2. And because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. And concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 different times that it might depart from me. And what the Lord said is, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. You know? So whatever was going on with him, even the messenger of Satan, if you go back and read it, it was an actual messenger of Satan, actual demonic thing, where we get the word angel from. All right? That was somehow doing some kind of affliction to him. And he prayed on three different times, and maybe other people praying for him that it might leave. And the Lord, he didn't say, no, it's not going to leave you. He just said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because what it did was expose such weakness in him. And in that weakness, he got to experience the power of Christ. Amen? So again, if we're in that place, you're going through something, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for you and believe God to be healed. I believed every time I got prayer that I would be healed. You follow me? And pray for people. But if it tarries, in your weakness, his strength will be made perfect. Right? And it's amazing the type of weaknesses that can be exposed as you're walking through this. You know, what Young is having to walk through, you know. Prayed for her, and we're going to pray for her again. God will heal her. But there's been a lot of weakness exposed there, right, Young? Where she can experience the presence and the power of Christ in her life. Okay. And I'll end with this. One thing that it also the Lord did with me in there, when I talked about the other purpose, you know, have a purpose, you know, and then persevere through that, and then God will give you passion. One thing that he really does says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Real quick, and I'm going to end with this because I know we got to get ready for communion. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, temptations, different things, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, mature, lacking in nothing. Okay? Again, the redemption purposes of Jesus, redeeming this as we're walking through this. And here's what I think that, this is for another time, when I have more time, what endurance produces in you as you're going. Because it said, don't let go of your confidence because it has great reward. Endurance produces in you confidence. Okay? Listen to this. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we ask from him. And when the Lord began to speak this to me about this confidence, you know, about how I pray for people sometimes, and they're going to have lab and all that stuff for us to pray. You know, one thing that I found in my life is how God did it, I don't really know. But one thing endurance produces is a confidence in the Lord. Where when I'm praying, I'm confident. See, I've experienced some healings, right? I have confidence that he does it. And it affects the way I pray. Okay? Because I know at that moment, it's really not me, it's him. You know? In another place, he says, I have several other ones, but I can't give it. I promise this is the last one. Jeez, my nitties. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves as to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is already from God, who's made us adequate as servants. Like Bishop said earlier, you're as adequate as you'll ever be. And you grab hold of that adequacy. And it's what the Lord does is through what I'm talking to you about and through what he did, he just had to kill me a lot. There's scripture that says that in Psalms, you know. He has killed me. It says that in Job too. When he killed me, I came alive. And I had confidence. It says that in Job chapter 5. When he killed me, I came forth with confidence. Because now my confidence is in him, not in myself. Amen. So I know that was jumbled. I just had to pack a lot of stuff into a short period of time to encourage you. Okay? And what God can do in you through that. Right? And I do want to get to that place to where we're at this level where it doesn't take as long as it took for me. Okay. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.